Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. 3 years ago, Attorney General Mike DeWine issued a call for a statewide policy on the testing of unprocessed rape kits. He did so after a 2-year-old unprocessed rape kit linked serial killer suspect Anthony Sowell to an attack on a woman. Sowell later was charged for killing 11 women and attacking several others. Attorney General DeWine has called his efforts to curb the backlog a success, but Democrat David Pepper, who is running against DeWine in November, has said that the policy doesn't go far enough. Coming up, we'll hear from David Pepper. Joining us now is Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ann, good to be back. Thank you very much.
So what is the state policy on testing rape kits now?
Ann, let me just go back, kind of set the stage for this, because I think there's it's pretty easy to be confused about this. You know, the Attorney General runs the state crime lab. We do pretty much everything you see on CSI on TV. One of the things we do, of course, is DNA. When I became Attorney General, if there was a rape that occurred in Fayette County or pick the county, and that evidence was taken to the state crime lab, the rape kit was taken in. Whole idea is trying to determine who that assailant was. There was a wait of on an average of 125 days before that was ever processed. So the first thing I did is we started working on that, and we have now reduced that from 125 days down to an average of 22 or 23 days, and we can turn a case around in 24 hours, as we did with the case of the little child who was raped in Columbus at the bus stop. We turned that case around in 24 hours, and Columbus Police Department was able to make that arrest.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that in spite of the fact that the number of DNA samples that are coming to us and that we test has gone up 4 times during that period of time. So it's a real, real success story, 125 days down to 22 days, and being able to turn the case around in 24 hours. Separate from that, and I think this is where it gets a little confusing, separate from that, as you said in the lead into the program, I called for the testing of all old rape kits that were located in police departments around the state. This is something I've been interested in for some time. Actually, Lee Fisher and I, way back, made the initial call for BCI to be able to test rape kits and do DNA. When I was in the U.S. Senate, we worked on the whole thing about these old rape kits. But mm-hmm. when I became Attorney General, I found that there were still old rape kits around, and we didn't know how many. But what I needed to do is have a protocol, and that protocol was formulated by basically a citizens group that I put together of victim advocates and other people. They came back and said every rape kit should be tested unless there was no crime that had been committed, which means that the vast, vast majority of all rape kits should be tested. So I made a call and I said to every police department, I wrote a letter to every police department, every sheriff in the state saying, I am willing to test these. We will not charge you anything to test them. We never charge. Even if you normally take your evidence to another crime lab, if you want to bring it to our crime lab, we will test it. And the results have been just stunning. We have tested 4,108 of these old rape kits. And when I say old, some of them were 17, 18, 19 years old. We've tested 4,108. We're getting a hit, a match in our database on 1 out of every 3 consistently, which means we have been going back every month to police departments around the state, sheriff's offices, and telling them, your 15-year-old case, we know who your rapist is. And we've gone back and given them that information. So it's been phenomenally successful, mm-hmm. Even beyond my wildest dreams of what we've been able to do. In Cuyahoga County, the Cleveland Police Department had 4,000 of these old rape kits. We have already, with the ones that we have tested, given enough evidence to Tim McGinty, who is the prosecuting attorney in Cuyahoga County, to indict, I think, about 140 people so far. So it's been phenomenally successful. You know, when Mr. Pepper criticizes this, it's just really, really strange.
Well,
I
don't take it as criticism of what you've achieved so far, but David Pepper, who's running against you for attorney general in November, he said that he could wipe out the existing backlog in a matter of months by forming partnerships with local crime labs. What is your response to that proposal?
Yeah, let me go through this real quickly. First of all, any police department can take their evidence to any crime lab they want to.
But not for free.
Well, no, not for free, no. But you know, we do it for free. So they have made a choice to take it to our crime lab. And understand that some of these police departments had this evidence 10, 15, almost 20 years. And it was but for our initiative, I can almost guarantee you that none of the 4,108 that we have tested ever would have been tested, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we told these police departments, we'll do it. Send it to us. So first of all, if any police department wants to send it to another other crime lab, that is fully their decision. I have made the decision with the advice of Tom Stickrath, who is the superintendent of BCI, and other people at the lab, that any DNA that is sent to us, any rape kit that's sent to us, we're going to test. We're not going to ship it out, and we're not going to do that for several reasons. First of all, the relationship we have built up with police departments on these old cases is very, very significant. An old case is different than a new case. These are tough cases for these police departments to work. We have our people who, after they test it, are available to talk to the police. We can follow up and do have follow-ups with these police departments. So, you know, it's a holistic approach that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a very, very good job testing them. The idea, and again, if any police department wants to take their old rape kits to any of these six public labs in the state, they're welcome to do it. I think what you're going to find out, though, and what Mr. Pepper apparently doesn't seem to realize, is that many of these crime labs, you know, are not in a position to take on additional work. Mr. Pepper's own county of Hamilton County, we have received from Hamilton County, actually from the Cincinnati Police Department, they have shipped into us 338 rape kits. We have tested 256 of these. We've got hits on 88. But that was a decision that Mr. Pepper's own city of Cincinnati made, the decision not to take it to the Hamilton County Crime Lab, but to take it to the Attorney General's Crime Lab in BCI. Let me just one additional thing. I talked yesterday to Joe Dieters, who is the county prosecuting attorney in Hamilton County, and we talked about that. And he said, look, Hamilton County is a very, very good crime lab. We are happy with the work that they do, but they have no capacity to take old rape kits. They would have no way to take 338 rape kits without totally paralyzing that crime lab. So that's in Mr. Pepper's old home county, and that's a big crime lab. Let me tell you some of the other crime labs. Mansfield, Ohio, Lake County. These crime labs are very, very small crime labs. They have no capacity to take hundreds or thousands of rape kits. Miami Valley Regional Crime Lab in Dayton is very, very good, but there's no way they could take
They have not solicited the work from you.
No. Okay. Number one, I think that we have no control over what evidence is brought to us. I encourage, because it was such a tragedy that thousands of these rape kits were sitting in police departments. I put a working group together. I came up with a protocol. I still can't compel them to bring it to us.
Right.
But because we had this protocol, they voluntarily have brought it to us. They could have brought it to any other lab. Mm-hmm. They could have done anything they wanted to.
Well, a lot of times it's cost, Attorney General. But be that as it may, I have two things I want to get to before I have to let you go. David Pepper's campaign has said that the backlog of untested rape kits sitting in your office or BCI has grown for the ninth straight month and now stands at a record high of 3,893 untested kits. So what is it about the backlog that's growing so quickly in the past 9 months?
And let me just kind of set the stage for this. When we started, we were told, and I came up with my protocol and said, mm-hmm. bring them to us. We had no idea how many rape kits were there. We still don't have any idea. They just start bringing them into us.
That are out there, yeah.
They're out there. We don't have any more there are. We think that all the major cities now are, the numbers are in, and we have a pretty good feel, and we think that this thing is going to start, heading downhill. Mm-hmm. We are testing 300 of these a month, so we're moving, forward on it. And for Mr. Pepper, who voted when he was on city council, voted for a budget that would have cost a cut in the crime lab down there and a cut in law enforcement. It's very hypocritical for him, who has never prosecuted a case in his life, who has rarely been, certainly not been in a courtroom ever to prosecute a case, to just discover this issue today. I've worked on this for, over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've done things that never would have been done. And for him to say, I have an idea, and my idea is that these crime labs should take it. And when you go look at the six crime labs in the state of Ohio, Hamilton County is one of the biggest, and the prosecutor down there says, oh, no, they couldn't take that. There was no way. It would just clog it up. So there's no capacity to do that. But again, it is a choice that each police department makes. If a police department in Hamilton County takes it to their crime lab, man, I don't think there's a charge for them. I don't think there's a charge in Mansfield.
Right, if it takes it to their own crime lab, but not every county has a crime lab, so they have to take them outside.
There are crime labs in virtually every major metropolitan area of the state.
Just before I let you go, the Senate passed unanimously on June 4th a bill. It's called Substitute Senate Bill 316, sponsored by Senator Cafaro, and it would require a law enforcement agency to review its records and reports pertaining to investigations anyways, require them to have a rape kit analyzed within 30 days after they establish a crime has been committed. What do you make of that?
I think it's a good bill.
Okay.
It's a good bill. And
would the state have to up its capacity to analyze the rape kits, though, if that was the case?
No. But the first part of the show, I said we are analyzing current rape kits that are coming in on an average of 22 days.
Okay.
And let me just add one other thing, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the requirements for DNA, to do DNA work, is going to continue. It's gone up four times since I become Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
We made a decision, which I think was the correct decision, to grow the crime lab and grow those numbers of people who do this work, understanding that they initially would work on the old rape kits. Once the old rape kits were done, these individuals would flip over and work on the new rape kits because we would anticipate that the demand will continue to grow. So it was a management decision that we made with the full understanding that the demand for DNA work has gone up four times. We didn't know how much it was going to go up. We knew it was going to go up. So we are now set, once these old rape kits are done, we'll throw these 12 people over to the other side to do the current rape kits, and that's where they will be needed at that time. So we're always looking forward and trying to figure out, how we can stay ahead of this. And again, Dad took office, 125 days it took on an average to get a rape kit back.
Mm-hmm.
Today we can do it in 24 hours. Our average time if the police don't tell us it's an emergency, it, average time is 22 days.
When it comes to
in spite of the fact that it's gone up, the workload has gone up four times.
Right. And to go back to the old rape kit issue, is there any priority given to how those are processed?
Yes. The first priority we had to do was we have a 20-year statute of limitations. I think we should get rid of the 20-year statute of limitations, and certainly when a rape kit is involved, but we still have it. Mm-hmm. So we had to triage these. We had to go in and take the ones where they're getting right up close to the statute. We have done that. We have now backed that away, so we don't have any that are right up against that. Now, if we get a new batch in, we look to see if any of those are that old, and we do the old ones, the very old ones first. Once we do that, the crime lab folks are making a decision based on priority, and the priority would be what case they think has the best chance of being developed.
Okay.
So we will move forward, for example, and do some of the relatively, they're still old, but relatively new cases that might be 4 or 5 years old, because those would probably have the best chance of being able to be of value. And the net result of what we've done with this old rape kit program, and again, none of these rape kits were being tested before I took the Attorney General. The net result has been we have been able to make it a safer Ohio by getting rapists off the street. And equally important, we have lived up to what society's commitment to the women who were victims. I mean, how would you like to be a victim of rape and you've been abused and you've been raped and gone through that and somebody the police told you or the nurse told you, well, if you submit and we have this sexual assault kit prepared, we will use that to catch the guy who raped you. And then you find out later that was never even sent into the crime lab. So we are, by this program, we are, I think, as a society, keeping our good faith with these victims and doing what is right by them and trying to seek justice.
Okay. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much.
It's Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine coming up. David Pepper, he's the Democratic candidate for Ohio Attorney General, is up against Mike DeWine in November. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. In 2011, Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine offered state-funded rape kit testing by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation. Now, 300 old rape test kits are processed every month. David Pepper, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, has said that's not nearly enough. He has another plan. Joining us now is Democrat Attorney General candidate David Pepper. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So where have Attorney General Mike DeWine's efforts to clear the backlog fallen short, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, and as I've said for about a year and a half, I think that it's actually a very well-intentioned, and I credit him for having started this, but I don't think it's been managed well. It sounds like he's defensive about that, but the truth is you could manage this program a lot better. All across the state, we hear the governor and others talking about sharing services. And this is a perfect example where if the Attorney General were to actually share the service and have local crime labs who also can do this testing, and if he were to take that step, you'd see the rape kits process at a much faster pace. And right now, if you do, even at the current rate of 300 per month, given all the ones that are still out there that he just talked about, that's years before we get through them. And I just don't think that's a good enough pace. I think that women have waited long enough. It's great that we've started, but let's manage this in a more effective, efficient way and get through it much more quickly. And the best way to do that is to avoid a bottleneck. And right now we have a bottleneck at the AG's office where despite people working hard, they're not getting through them quickly enough. Every month they get more in from around the state than they're able to test. So the backlog is, as you talked about, is up for the ninth straight month. It keeps going higher, not lower. And the common sense solution to that is to take all the experts around the state and to have them share in the work. And I think if they share in the work, you'd see the backlog go down and not more of these sitting on shelves in the AG's office. So it's honestly a very common sense solution. I was in local government. I was on the county commission. We did this kind of sharing all the time. In fact, when I was on the county commission, Richard Cordray, when he was AG, actually sent us cases to our coroner's office, and we went through them, and it helped him clear a backlog in another area. And the way the budgets work, it actually saves money because these local labs provide the work at a lower cost. So it's been done before. I've been part of doing it when I was the county commissioner. It's just honestly not that. This is a pretty common sense idea, and I just think the sooner it gets started, the better. I wish Mike DeWine would forget the politics, forget the campaign. He should start doing it right now. We'd get through these kits faster.
He's saying that there's not capacity at the local crime labs.
Right. What there is there's not money because the state has drained local budgets for 3 years. What I'm suggesting happen is the Attorney General's office actually, instead of driving all its own money into overtime to deal with a bottleneck and still not keep up, do what prior AGs have done and send resources to the local labs to do the work. So there's certainly capacity. We have some outstanding local labs. They're actually a lot more cost-effective than the state lab. And so the reason they can't do them is because for 3 years we've had local government funds cut. But if you talk to the Hamilton County Coroner, if you were to actually provide the support to get through the work, they'd be more than happy to do it. I think it would mean that all of it would be done quicker. And if you look at the basic budgets of these local labs, we would save taxpayer dollars by sharing the work. I mean, right now there's a bottleneck, and the only way they're getting through it at the state level is by spending a whole lot on overtime to get through it, and they're still not keeping up. And if you took that same money, and rather than putting it in the state lab for more overtime, you send it to local labs and said, hey, could you take a share of this work? You'd actually save money. So it's ironic that he would say that local labs don't have the capacity. Local labs are really strained because the state has spent 3 years taking local funds and putting it into the state. While the state grows and the crime lab of the state grows, local labs are saddled paying the bill.
Right. The state lab has grown. It's not just overtime. They've hired 10 new employees for the crime lab there. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about overtime. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is David Pepper. He's the Democratic a candidate for Ohio Attorney General. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mike DeWine has said, and many agree, that all rape kits should be processed. The backlog should be completely processed. Do you agree or not, and why?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And obviously, our disagreement is not on that point.
But
our disagreement isn't on the point that he did the right thing by starting it.
Mm-hmm.
Our disagreement is I think there's a way to do it much quicker and in the end actually cost efficiently. But more importantly, we should get through them much faster than we are right now. I just am, I guess, more impatient with the idea that we're going to be facing this backlog for 3 or 4 years. I'd like to do it much faster, and I think there's a very common sense way to do that.
Why do you say that local labs would be more cost effective? Can you give me some sense of what you mean by cost effective? How much money are we talking here?
If you look at, as you mentioned, the spending at the state crime lab in order to take on this issue has skyrocketed. It's up millions. They've added people, and they are spending a good amount on overtime to get through it. And if you look closely, and we've done the analysis, if you look at the cost per case in Hamilton County, or let's say the Miami Valley crime lab near Dayton, which is both of them are among the best in the country, their cost per case at handling just general work is much lower than the state. There's less bureaucracy. Their budgets are more closely watched because they're at the county level and county commissioners and others are looking. So if you look at the cost per case in local counties of very good crime labs, it's less than half of what the state costs to do the same cases. And this is typical what shared services looks like. If the state were to take some of the work that it's paying more people and overtime to do at the state, and instead said, hey, we'll provide dollars to these local labs, we'll partner with them, we'll share the work with them. Those labs would actually go through cases at a lower cost per case. They're just, for a lot of reasons, you know, they're more cost efficient. And so my vision is have the state take on many of them, but have the state also distribute work to the local level where the numbers are very clear that the local labs actually do this work at a lower cost.
He said that he talked with Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieter, so that's a prosecutor in your own county,
right,
who said that their crime lab couldn't handle this.
What's interesting is he in that statement, he didn't talk to the actual coroner, who, you know, and there's a problem big picture in the state right now. I believe that the AG's office and the crime lab should be partnering with local labs. The idea that Mike DeWine, to even have that conversation, talk to the prosecutor and not the coroner itself, tells you there's a problem. Right now, a lot of these local labs, and this is why I think this isn't happening, they view that the AG's office has frankly been out for several years to put them out of business. If you look in the Inquirer for the last 3 months, there's been a lot of tension in Southwest Ohio, because rather than working with the attorney with the local crime labs, the Attorney General's office has been trying to create its own new state crime lab in Butler County. And frankly, he's been very direct about saying we don't need local crime labs like Hamilton County and Butler County. So the fact that he didn't even talk to the coroner to talk about this issue, but went through his friend Joe Dieters, who I get along with just fine, tells you got a problem where there's not really a partnership. So my view is, A, talk to the actual people who are running crime labs. B, if you talk to them, like I have, they'll tell you, we're happy to do this work. Of course our budgets are strained. The state has been, you know, taking our money for 3 straight years. You know, I think they would tell you if you did what Richard Cordray used to do, which was take dollars and send it to the way of the local labs and ask them to take a piece of work, they're happy to do it. And if you just simply did that, you'd actually save money, but also, as I said, get through these cases. So my entire goal is to restart the partnership between state and local. It shouldn't be a competition, and we shouldn't be going around the back of people who run our crime labs even to talk about an issue like this. I've talked directly to the coroner, and she's on record, you know, a couple months ago said she would be happy to do this work, and she thinks if she did it, they would actually get through the cases far more quickly than the current pace.
Do you know what other states do in this case?
You know, I honestly can't say I do. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably unique. Not all states even have their own crime lab. It's a mix.
I see.
I do think that a lot of states, I mean, it's a fact, a lot of states are stuck with the same problem Ohio's had a long time, which is none of these are being processed at all or quickly enough. So we have a unique, but I would tell you, my view is we have a unique asset here, or set of assets, that we have a state lab, which is great to have, and we have a bunch of local labs that are very good at what they do. And so we have a unique ability to actually get through these cases at a good rate if we actually just manage in an appropriate way. And, you know, Mr. DeWine talked about my experience and all that. My experience is I was the head of the county commission where I pushed very hard for shared services. I partnered with Richard Cordray to do this type of work. And so I know what I'm talking about how shared services, and what's ironic is, for the last 3 years, the governor has been talking just about how much local government should share services.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying here is, great, well, we have a perfect example in the way these labs are run, that if we shared the work and we didn't care about who got credit, but we simply shared the work among a number of assets that can do the work effectively, we'd actually be far better off than if the state insists on doing it all itself, create an expensive bottleneck, which is sort of the status quo that we're seeing right now. So this is based on having been the president of county commission and pushed hard for something that a lot of people, I think is good common sense management, which is sharing services with people who can do the work well.
The Ohio Senate on June 4th unanimously passed a bill that would require sexual assault examination kits, these rape kits we've been talking about, whether it's at the state or the local level, be analyzed within 30 days after an offense has been determined. What do you make of that bill?
Well, I support it, but I also think it actually really supports what I'm saying we should do here. Because right now we know there's a backlog that's almost at 4,000. We know there are thousands and more, and I don't know if I didn't hear your whole interview, if Mr. DeWine said what their estimate is, but the number that's been cited in newspapers and at the controlling board has been well over 10,000 kits that are out there. So if the Senate passes, if the House passes that and it's signed, which I think it should be, it demands even more, more urgently that we don't simply sit around and process these things at 300 a month, because all of a sudden we're looking at, I don't know, depending on the number, 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, he says they're doing it within
that bill so much as the great fear. And if I were Attorney General, I wouldn't just be passively accepting these cases. Mike DeWine, I think, said to you, well, we can't really tell these local folks to do it. I would be urgently, actively pushing for them to get their rape kits in, because my biggest fear is with that statute of limitations out across the state, there are numerous rape kits that may be about to pass over that statute of limitations. So I think the bill is good, but as Attorney General, I'd be much more proactive about getting those kits in as fast as possible, and then working with these local labs to get through them as quickly as possible.
He said they're processing new rape kits, the current ones, within 20 to 23 days on average.
Right.
So that's well within that 30 days that they're talking about in Senate Bill 316.
Right. What they're trying to do is obviously get the kits from the local labs to the from the local jurisdictions to the process of analyzing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. There needs to be a much more of a sense of urgency to get the kits from the local police stations to the AG's office. And right now, there are people working hard. Cleveland, for example, Prosecutor McGinty worked very hard with the city police department there to get those cases in. But there clearly are thousands more out there. Some of them, the worst thing is there are obviously rapists right now walking the street that these kits would actually bring to justice, but you also have the statute of limitations problem. So I would be much more urgent. I think this Senator Cafaro's bill is urgent and is calling for the right thing. As Attorney General, I'd be pushing for it either way. Let's get them in and let's test them, and let's test them quickly by sharing the work and not having this bottleneck.
Another issue that Mike DeWine brought up was the holistic approach. He said that the state crime lab could offer local jurisdictions and that the local crime labs, the handful of crime labs throughout the state, don't have that luxury.
Yeah, I hate to say it. That's just not the case. I mean, we have Hamilton County, Miami Valley, the others, and I know those two best because I'm down here and work with them, and as a county commissioner, oversaw one of them, their budget at least. These are top-of-the-line labs. For years, frankly, they've been far better than the state lab. There was a reason when Mike DeWine tried to take over the Hamilton County lab in the last couple months, there's a reason why every single police agency screamed out, no, please, we want to keep our local lab, because they rely on it. They know it well, and they're very good at what they do. So, this is why the partnership.
But could they offer that same service to, say, someone in Vinton County?
Pardon me?
Could they offer the same sort of service to?
Here's what they could do. They could quarterback the process. They could bring in the kits and then divvy them out in a way that gets through them. And rely on these local, and that's what happened again when I was a county commissioner. We took the AG's office would send cases our way that they knew that the county lab was good at, and the county lab would work through them. I think the AG should quarterback the process. I just think in processing the cases, don't have them sitting on shelves in the AG's office just waiting for the bottleneck to get through that 300 per month. Actually take the cases and divvy them out among the different labs, and obviously the AG needs to keep track of them and then get back to each county. But this is not rocket science. This is basic 21st century good management in government. And, I know that they're defensive about what they're doing. From the very beginning, and I've talked about this not for a day, as Mr. DeWine said, but for well over a year, I have always said I give him credit for starting this. And I think he has good intentions, but the management of this suggests to me that he's not thinking, 21st century about how do you manage something like this? And the answer is share the service, get through it quickly, don't care about who gets the credit, and just get it done. And that's really, frankly, very common sense.
David Pepper, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was good talking to you.
David Pepper, he's a Democratic candidate for Ohio Attorney General. Coming up, we'll hear from an advocacy organization and what they have to say about the issue of rape kits. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Last year, Congress passed the Sexual Assault Forensic Evidence Registry Act. That law, called SAFER, channels funding to state and local governments to analyze untested rape kits and upload the data into a national web-based registry. The problem of backlogs of untested rape kits is a national issue. We've just heard from incumbent Republican Mike DeWine, the Attorney General of Ohio, and his challenger in November, Democrat David Pepper. Joining us now is the Vice President of Policy and Advocacy at the Joyful Heart Foundation, the group behind End the Backlog program, Sarah Tofte. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
When did the backlog become a problem?
That's a great question. I think it was a problem and has been a problem for longer than the moment we realized it was a problem. But I would say national attention was brought to it around 2008 and 2009 when Los Angeles announced it had a backlog of 12,500 untested kits in police storage facilities. I think that was the first time that folks realized that kits were being kept behind and were not being sent to crime labs in the first place.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Los Angeles or the entire state of California has caught up now?
Los Angeles has caught up, not the entire state of California.
Well,
there's very few states that have taken this on statewide. You know, Ohio is actually one of the few states who's looked at this statewide.
What was the magic in Los Angeles? Did they just hire more people and expand their labs?
Well, you know, some of the magic was that they had some more resources readily available. You know, they had some money that they could redirect or direct towards testing the kits. And they also had their own crime lab, and it's a well, you know, funded crime lab. And so they were able to get more resources that they needed to test those kits in a somewhat timely way. They also outsourced. They did do some outsourcing, some triaging, so that their own crime lab did some of the testing, and then they used private labs to do the other testing.
Let's talk about what Congress has just done. As part of the 2013 reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, it refocused what is called the Debbie Smith Grant Program on ending the backlog. Could you tell us about the Debbie Smith Act and grant program and how that money's been spent in the past and where it'll go in the future?
Sure. So the Debbie Smith Act is named after a rape victim whose kit was, because it was stuck in a backlog, it delayed, you know, solving her case for many years. And in around 2002 or so, she began doing a lot of advocacy in Congress to get them to recognize the fact of how important rape kit testing was and how important it was to do it very quickly. So Congress responded by passing the Debbie Smith Act, which is a grant program. The grant program actually it addresses all kinds of DNA backlogs in crime labs, so both rape kit backlogs and other DNA backlogs connected to violent crimes. And so that's where the money has been spent, is focusing on all kinds of different DNA backlogs. Last year, as you referenced, Congress passed the SAFER Act, and what that did actually was asked Congress or allowed the Debbie Smith Grant Program allowed states or applying entities to use that money if they wanted to audit their backlogs, to figure out how big their backlogs might be in police storage facilities. It actually did not. SAFER doesn't require that states use a certain percentage of the money for rape kit testing. It was a really important next step in this process. What I think is actually even more exciting is that in this budget that's before Congress, Congress has is appropriating $41 million in a totally new grant program for rape kit reform. That would specifically, for the first time, give money to rape kit testing, to allowing helping communities respond comprehensively to their rape kit backlog, both in terms of testing, in terms of investigations and prosecutions, and in reengaging survivors. So that money is before Congress right now. It's in both the House and the Senate appropriations bills. Unfortunately, the appropriations bill in the Senate is stuck right now for unrelated reasons, and so it's a little. We're still hopeful that Congress is going to pass a budget this year, but you know, if they don't, it'll be a huge disappointment for many reasons. But in particular, I think this is our really first, best, greatest opportunity to get some real significant federal support for comprehensive rape kit reform.
We were just talking with David Pepper about competition for limited funds when it comes to processing rape kits.
Yeah.
Would states be competing against local jurisdictions for this grant money?
Well, that's a really good question. I think there's a lot of details that are going to have to be worked out about who the applying entities will be. I know there's been a lot of talk as this bill has made its way through Congress, really of focusing on cities, on local jurisdictions, in part because when you're talking about a comprehensive response in terms of investigations and prosecutions, often that is done more at the local level. It certainly can be done in partnership with, say, you know, the local prosecutor and an attorney general, but more often than not, it's really the local jurisdiction that's going to be carrying that load, and that's probably where some of the money will go. But it's true, there's always that tension, especially in the few states that have really taken on comprehensive rape kit reform. There's always a little bit of that tension between how you divide up the resources, between what the state needs to manage the process and move the process forward, and what the local jurisdictions need to do their part.
Tell us about what a rape kit is. We know it has to do with DNA evidence, but what could it include?
Yeah. Well, a rape kit, and I apologize if some of your prior guests went into this in more detail, but
no.
You know, rape kit is, it is, you know, in the immediate aftermath of this very traumatic crime, a survivor, if they report to a hospital or a doctor or the police, they'll be asked to submit to a rape kit exam. It's a very intense exam. It's about, on average, can take 4 to 6 hours because, you know, a nurse or a doctor is going to comb over every part of the victim's body. You know, the body is really the living, breathing crime scene in this case. And so they're going to comb over it and try to find any evidence that the suspect or the perpetrator might have left. And it's a very lengthy process. So they're looking for fluids, hairs, semen, saliva, blood. And they wrap all that up or package all that into what's often called a rape kit. It's either in an envelope or a box. And, you know, as you know, testing that evidence can be incredibly powerful. And as you've seen in Ohio, the results have been pretty incredible. It can identify unknown suspects. It can confirm the presence of a known suspect. It can link crime scenes together and identify serial rapists. So it is very, very, very powerful evidence. And we ask a lot of survivors when they go through the process. So I think that when we first started learning about the backlog, we were sort of shocked that, you know, we could be leaving such valuable evidence behind and not doing anything with it. And I think that's why it's galvanized so many advocates and so many public officials and so many members of the public to try to fix the problem.
If a victim doesn't want to go through that process, does that mean they don't get their case, there's no follow-through on their case?
Well, not necessarily. You know, sometimes not every case is, you know, not every victim will be sort of, it'll be eligible to have the kit done if, say, you know, sometimes there's delayed reporting for all kinds of various and understandable reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So if the victim is reporting, you know, a week or so after the crime occurred, there's really not likely going to be any DNA evidence left, so they will not make them go through the rape kit exam because, like I said, it's pretty intense. You know, there are certainly instances where someone may decide, you know, I'm just not ready to do this in this moment, and then may decide further on that they would like to, even though they didn't submit to a rape kit, they would like to press charges. You know, the other piece of it is that victims can also decide to have a rape kit done, but not have to decide in that moment whether they want to report to the police or move the case forward. You know, it can be a really big decision. It's a really it's a really big decision to decide whether or not to sort of engage the criminal justice process. And so we've also set up structures where, you know, survivors can have the kit done to preserve the evidence and then make a decision later whether they not they'd like to move forward.
So would he or she go to the hospital, or where would you go to have a rape kit done?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're done. You know, it's not, it's a purely forensic exam, but it needs to be done by, it's always done by a nurse or a doctor. And ideally it's done by a nurse or a doctor who's been trained in forensic evidence collection. And that's because one, it's a very special, it's not a medical exam. You have to know, the ins and outs of preserving evidence and chain of custody and all those important things. And also with that training, you become sensitive to sort of the dynamics of sexual violence and the trauma of sexual violence, and you can be as compassionate and effective as possible in that moment for the survivor.
I can't imagine a 4 or 5 hour process, you know, for a lot of women, just getting their yearly pap smear is traumatic and uncomfortable.
I
can imagine there has to be special training for that. A couple issues before I let you go I want to get to is, in Ohio, it's a 20-year statute of limitations on rape. That's helped the Attorney General's office, at least, and I would imagine local jurisdictions prioritize when it comes to getting at these backlogs. Is there a degradation factor in all of this, that over time the evidence degrades?
Sometimes, for sure. It depends on how the evidence was stored. And the good news is, you know, you always want to store everything carefully and according to best practice and protocols. But the good news is that even if that hasn't happened, DNA technology is getting so much better. And, you know, it used to be, you know, even 10 years or so ago that all too often samples were too degraded to get a profile. And more as the technology has been refined, it is possible to get full profiles, you know, in under circumstances that before might have felt impossible or might have been impossible. So degraded evidence certainly is an issue, and you certainly want to make sure you're storing all of this evidence very carefully. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, we've been lucky that as DNA technology has advanced, that's become less and less of an issue.
Also, there were suggestions that there was a disproportionate number of African-American women's rape kits were not being handled properly, were not being tested in a timely manner. Have you seen a trend of that across the country? Is that an issue?
Mm-hmm. What I've seen a trend of, and what I talk about a lot, is that very much what seems to happen is the cases that get left behind, you know, and who's the cases where the kids are left behind really are connected to victims who are incredibly marginalized in the community. So that can be because of race, that can be because of poverty, that could be because of prior criminal records, that could be because of engagement in illegal activity like, you know, drug, selling drugs or sex work. And so I absolutely see a connection between sort of the more marginalized you are and the more vulnerable you are in the community. You know, oftentimes then I think law enforcement often make a judgment. You know, they take your social, they look at a victim's socioeconomic status and they give it way too much import and weight in terms of both whether they think the victim is telling the truth or in terms of whether they think the case is even worth pursuing. You know, they might believe a sexual assault happened, but they might also feel like, you know, one, no one's really going to care if I don't do anything about this, or that this victim doesn't have a whole lot of value to the community or to me, and so I'm not going to spend my time moving it forward. And so you see that, I see that over and over and over again. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in Ohio, you're seeing a disproportionate number of cases really connected to, you know, victims that have historically faced incredible amounts of discrimination and marginalization.
And we only have about
community.
We only have about 30 seconds left. But let's say, you know, I'm somebody who doesn't, if it, say it is a sex worker, somebody who's been a prostitute. I don't care if we marginalize them. That's not how I feel. But say someone says it. Why should we care whether their rape kits are tested as well?
Yeah, well, you hope that people care because they care about the individual,
for the good,
but also for folks. This is a true, is the true public safety issue. As you've seen in Ohio, when you don't test these kits, not only do you deny justice for survivors, but you deny holding offenders accountable, and they go on oftentimes to commit these crimes again. And so it puts all of us at risk. And so if you can't, if folks don't care about the individual victim, which they should, but if they don't, they should care about their community safety, and do the right thing and advocate for these kits to be tested.
Sarah Tofte, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sarah Tofte, she's Vice President of Policy and Advocacy at the Joyful Heart Foundation. That's a group behind the End the Backlog program. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.